Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, AIDS in China and documentary director Thomas Lennon. Thomas Lennon has won just about every award a documentary director producer can win. Two Emmys, two George Foster Peabody Awards, two Writers Guild Awards, and he was nominated for an Oscar. His films include the multiple-part series The Irish in America, Long Journey Home, and with Bill Moyers, Becoming American, The Chinese Experience. With Richard Ben Kramer, he was nominated for an Oscar for his two-hour film The Battle Over Citizen Kane, which looked at the struggle between Orson Welles and William Randolph Hearst, and also The Choice, 1992 election film. With writer Shelby Steele, he's done two films, 7 Days in Bensonhurst and Jefferson's Blood, Battle of the Bulge, Hurricane of 38, Tabloid Truth, The Pilgrimage of Jesse Jackson, and other films make up the extraordinary body of work that Tom Lennon has done. His new project concerns the extraordinary story of AIDS in China. Unlike a traditional documentary, what Lennon is working on now are a series of public service announcements that are going out on Chinese television to the country with the world's largest population. In the first segment of my interview, we learned about the PSAs that Lennon had done with basketball players Yao Ming from China and Magic Johnson, who of course has HIV. Now, more from Tom Lennon about AIDS in China. Now, you make it sound awfully easy. Oh, yeah, we got Yao Ming and Magic Johnson, and yeah, we got it onto TV in China. I however, know that you're making it sound an awful lot easier than it was. What were the biggest hurdles that you had to deal with?
So much of it is good fortune. So much of it is the luck of timing. I mean, we had done this series on Chinese Americas, so we were very wired in to the movers and shakers within Chinese America, and that and probably the most important of those was the AIDS researcher David Ho, and he was doing work in China. He knew us, and we were able to move in. And then it was just this kind of moment where the Chinese government said, "Okay, we got to do something. What's around?" And by then we had the spots. We had made those spots with Yao Ming without any certainty that they were going to be used or not widely used, and brought them to the Ministry of Health, and the Ministry of Health approved them. And you're right, it should be hard, and it was hard. It was slow at times, and the negotiations are hard. No negotiations are easy in a large and bureaucratic country like that. But it was not as hard as I expected it to be. And when the Ministry of Health calls us now and says, "Well, we're thinking about doing another campaign about such and such," I kind of pinch myself, David. It's like, what on earth are we doing with those kinds of privileges? And yet, you know, we were able to do some good work, and that good work was appreciated, and now we're off and running. I should also say that one of the things that we have been working on, and which I hope we'll be able to do more, is draw Chinese Americans into awareness of what we're doing and excitement about what we're doing and support of what we're doing. Because, you know, one of the great strengths that China has as it goes through this kind of incredible transformation. I mean, David, to you, I mean, I know you've been there and done reporting there, and it's just amazing to see what's going on, the changes. You just cannot believe them, the speed at which things are happening. I mean, you know, I live in New York City, David, and New York City lives on this myth about, like, oh, well, we're the city that never sleeps, and we're the city where anything can happen, and we're the city where you can be a, you know, a millionaire or a dead duck by nightfall, and, you know, if you can make it here, you can make it here, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. Forget it. The Asian cities, Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, just make us, you know, Atlanta is supposedly the city that never sleeps, but I'll tell you, I mean, the city that's too busy to hate and all that sort of stuff, but New York, the one that never sleeps, but it's the Asian cities make us look absolutely just sleepy.
Yeah, a friend described what's going on there, which is this is amazing, unprecedented economic hurricane sweeping through that country as sort of the other swing of the pendulum, having the Mao's Cultural Revolution swinging the country wildly, rapidly, horribly in one direction, and now the pendulum swinging just as crazily back in the other direction.
David, I may be a little bit more optimistic than your friend, because Yes, it's wild. Yes, it's incredibly hyperactive in the speed of the change. But you also get the sense that, and nobody knows whether this Chinese experiment, which is to loosen the reins gradually in terms of economics and much more slowly in terms of political freedoms, nobody knows whether that's going to be stable or whether that's going to be just have some sort of huge crisis. But I have to say, when I'm there, I feel more the positive side of just the excitement of people energized and able to go chase opportunities that they didn't have. That's not to say that it isn't brutal. You know, if you look at what's going on environmentally, you look at what's going on in terms of, worker injuries and the ecological degradation and so forth, it's pretty wild. But there's also a lot of new freedom there and a lot of excitement about that, and one can feel that. You feel it, you know, everywhere in the pace of the cities and so forth. That's an immense positive in most ways. It is, in fact, a tremendous danger when it comes to AIDS.
Okay, let's say they don't fix it. Let's say they don't get it under control. What is the tremendous danger, and how does it affect
us? Experts have said that in as few as 5 to 7 years from now, let's say by 2012, you could have 10 million cases of AIDS, of HIV, rather, in China. I don't think that's going to happen, but the risk is certainly there.
Now, personal question for you. You've been in the documentary business since, oh my goodness,
the late
70s, and you and I worked together in the early 80s in New York, and we've watched this very odd business go through its upheavals. You're working on a completely different kind of project now, where you're not dealing with executive producers of shows. You're dealing with public service announcements and trying to change the course of how a country faces this crisis.
Right.
What's it like to work on this kind of a project?
Well, and it's really interesting. You know, the U.S. media environment is probably both freer and crazier than it's ever been. And what I sometimes feel when I listen to and when I watch television or when I go to film festivals, when I look at documentary work, is that everybody is having to kind of shout louder just in order to be heard over the cacophony of noise that's going on. And you know, I sometimes think to myself, like, everybody is selling a story, you know, and I think that there are dangers in that, which is to say, I think that sometimes the subtle story, sometimes the quiet story, really has a hard time making itself heard there. Now, in this case, I'm not in the documentary business. I'm in the public service announcement business, which is actually a form of advertising. I'm in there selling, except that instead of selling, you know, shampoos or cars, I'm selling public health. And I'm in this kind of, wild free market environment. And the Chinese TV environment is in some ways comparable to the U.S. Environment, obviously much more censored, but in terms of, like, fragmentation of channels, tons of channels, lots of, you know, very commercial stuff trying to make itself heard. And it's kind of fun to just be in there flat out screaming, shouting, hawking, selling, along with everybody else. Does that answer your question?
Okay, well, let me ask it this way. What's more fun, working in the American documentary business or the Chinese PSA business?
I have to say, I'm having an awful good time at the moment, and I'm not missing my old line of work. But I will come to miss it, and I will come back to it. I'm sure of that.
Finally, you've just won another award for your latest film, the one with Ruby Yang, The Blood of Yingzhou District. Tell us about the film.
You know, I say that we're really enjoying being out there pitching and selling, but at the same time, you know, we're documentary filmmakers in our bones, and we were yearning to do something that was more along the style of the way we like to work. And so we had been filming for quite a while in Anhui, which is a remote rural province in central China, where there are a lot of villages where the parents have died of AIDS and the kids are really fending for themselves. And we realized that this was a story that could, in fact, be of interest internationally, that wasn't just for the Chinese audience. And so we edited that into a 40-minute film. And it hasn't yet aired in the United States, but I'm pleased to say that HBO is going to air it next year. And in the meantime, yes, it won a couple of awards. When it premiered here in the U.S., it won an award at Silver Dogs, the film festival was at. But more recently, I got an award from a place that I must say, David, I never thought in my career would ever come my way, which is we are the proud recipients of an award from the Tsinghua University in Beijing.
Congratulations.
They saw the film, they loved it, and there are more famous awards that I've gotten, as you know, but none that I'm prouder of.
Congratulations. Thomas Lennon, thank you very much. Keep up the good work, and save some more lives.
Good talking to you, Dave.